Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, the 4th of July edition. Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, back from, where were you, Cincinnati again?
Oh,
you're over there. There you go. Yeah, so your last week in Cincinnati.
My last trip there.
But you're back now?
I am back, and we got a couple of boys who are fighting soon, so we'll be traveling again, maybe to Pennsylvania. Definitely going to Indianapolis, but, you know, I don't mind it. That kind of traveling, I don't mind doing at all. I just came back from Chicago, actually, about a couple weeks ago. That was a good one.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Sean Desay is back with us. The show, as always, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network and sponsored by Gun Lake Casinos and Onnit Supplements, onnit.com/WOW Show. Lots of stuff to get to. Lots of stuff to talk about. Frankie Edgar will be on the show here in a little bit. We will talk to Josh Gross of ESPN.com. But before we get there, it is UFC 162, a stacked card with a lot of questions, and Sunday morning, a lot of them, well, I should say all of them, will be answered. The number one question that everyone wants to know, is Chris Weidman the real deal? Is Chris Weidman the guy that's going to be the answer to Anderson Silva? His wrestling, better than Chael Sonnen's. So if you take what Chael was able to do and Chris's fight IQ on the ground, he's going to be much slicker than Chael is, i.e. he won't be falling for triangles with 12 seconds left in the fight. Is he the guy, Sean?
Well, I think we ask ourselves that question every time.
We do,
Anderson's
in fact.
Fighting.
Yes, absolutely.
So, how many guys are going to be out there that's going to be the guy? We don't know. Obviously, Weidman's jiu-jitsu is probably a whole lot better than Chael's, because I don't recall the last time Chael got a sub. I'm sure he's got a rear naked choke somewhere. But anyways,
I think it was Brian Stann, actually. I think he choked out Brian Stann.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it, well, guillotine, whatever,
right,
it was.
Exactly.
But, yeah, he's not really known for it. You know, obviously we got Matt Serra, who's in Chris's corner, so he comes from a good, you know, trainer, a good camp. Serra's, you know, been up there several times with the title. So, you know, even on this paper here that we're looking at, I mean, if you look at it on paper, I mean, man, 33-4 versus 9-0. That's, you know, yeah, he's got the youth. He's young. He's strong. You know, he's got a lot going for him, but I just think that the overall experience is where the advantage lays, huge for Anderson. Does he have a chance? Sure. Who doesn't, you know, when you step into a fight with anybody?
Yeah, yeah.
But hands down, man, I just don't really see Chris winning this fight at all. I can't.
Well, there's that X factor, Sean, that when you step in that cage, that you can do all the training, you can do all the rolling, you can bring in as many Brazilians as you want to emulate Anderson style, but when you're staring across the cage from that guy who is undefeated in the UFC and has decimated everybody they put in front of him, there's that thing that's going to tickle in the back of your brain, that's your flight or fight mechanism, and which one of those you choose in that first round determines A, the length at which you're going to be able to fight Anderson Silva, and B, if you're going to be able to get your game off at all.
I think everyone is going to step, anyone, you know, that has and will step in the cage and they see Anderson in front of them, that aura comes off and you're just like, okay, there he is. This bell's about to ring and it's game on, you know. It's like, what do I do? Do I fall under that spell or do I try to just treat it like a regular fight? And either way, I think it's just going to be bad news.
But here's the crazy thing is I have in my hand a list.
It's a lot of lists.
Of 17 fighters that think that Weidman's, it's his to win.
Oh, it's his to win?
His to win.
Cool.
And you would, you know, some of these are the usual suspects. I'll start with one that you would obviously guess. Chael Sonnen says that Weidman's going to win, which is what Chael Sonnen would say.
Okay.
Ronda Rousey, Matt Serra, obviously, Misha Tate. George St. Pierre has said that it will be Weidman. Kenny Florian says it'll be Weidman. Michael Bisping says it'll be Weidman. Graham Maynard says it'll be Weidman. Cormier says it'll be Weidman. Mir, Belcher, Hodger Gracie, TJ Grant, Rockhold, John Mayorga, Rick Story, I should say, Johnny Hendricks, Dominic Cruz, all of those guys. And in that list are three champions.
Wow, Dominic said that. That's kind of
Dominic,
impressive.
Ronda, and GSP all champions.
Yeah, I don't really care so much about GSP. I mean, nothing against him, but he trains with Sarah. He's gone down that camp,
of course.
You know?
But
there's a little bias there. So
there's always going to be bias. Sure. But there's always that in the back of your mind. Are you know George stands out for me particularly because in the back of my mind, the guy who studies the way of the warrior, pun intended, every hour of every day and has organized his entire life to study the martial arts, really feels that the only other person in the universe that's studying in the same way, if not better than he is, being Anderson Silva, is going to be dethroned by Chris Weidman.
I'm pretty shocked with that. Like I said, I was more shocked that Dominic feels that way about it because that's...
And to be fair, maybe it was his knee that was speaking. I don't know.
Well, because Dominic's very dynamic type fighter. The way he moves is very unconventional. And he, you know, I'm not saying he probably thinks Anderson sucks, but...
No!
You know, but to sit there and to think that Chris is going to win, maybe they're just favoriting the wrestling aspect of it more. I'd be shocked if Weidman knocks out Anderson. That would blow my mind, actually. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I would be shocked, too, and I don't
know. I do see him possibly winning, like, maybe on the ground, you know, something on along those lines, but I don't, you know, that's a really small percent on my
side.
It's
a small percent, and let's remember, I'm not taking anything away from what Chael did in that first fight. Because a fight is a fight.
Yeah.
But it has long been documented that Anderson came into that fight severely injured.
Yeah, busted rib or something.
In his rib, which anybody who has rolled jiu-jitsu know it's impossible to do your game from the bottom without your ribs. So, let's say for the sake of argument, he's 90% healthy and you're a better wrestler. I don't think a healthy Anderson Silva on his back is a good idea for you.
No. No, dude, that dude's got long legs, long arms.
Not a good idea at all.
You know, he uses his offensive jiu-jitsu for reversals and sweeps, not just for the subs.
No, and yeah, he uses it as a weapon to get back to what he wants to do, which is knock you out.
Yeah, if the sub happens to come along with it, great. But what he's really using it for is, you know, like when Chael finally got that full mount on him, I think in their first fight. He actually pushed his arm to the side and kind of like I had a head and arm choke off of his back. But he used that in a way of establishing taking less punches, things like that. You know what I mean? Like, dude, that dude's solid. He'll put his hands down. He'll let you hit him in the chin. He'll roll his chin, obviously.
He trains to do that. You know? So
it's wicked.
I fall for this every time, but I'm the same way. I feel that Anderson Silva is the best fighter of all time.
100%. If anyone out there disagrees, they're not watching MMA, you know, the right way.
And so, you get to this point, though, that you're watching these fights and you're thinking, is Weidman the guy? But is Weidman the guy only because Anderson's 38? Like 22-year-old, 24-year-old Anderson versus Weidman? Or better yet, the one... man wrecking machine that came in and just killed Chris Lieben, are we having the same discussion then? You know,
no, of course not. Yeah, it's the age difference is the only way people are like leaning towards Chris. You know, well, all these 17 known fighters.
There are more than 17 people that think that Anderson Silva's going to lose.
But these 17
in particular. The co-main event, we'll talk to one half of it, Frankie Edgar taking on Charles Oliveira. Frankie, a 6-1 favorite in this fight. But as I've been saying all week, and I'll ask Frankie about this, Sean, talk to me as a trainer when you've been doing 7 title fights, so your 5-round fights, and what Frankie likes to do, and we talk about it with a lot of the lighter weight guys. Mighty Mouse is another one. They want to take you into championship rounds and drown you.
Yeah.
There is no drowning in 15 minutes. And so can Frankie change his game enough to, because he's got to want to murder Oliveira in round one. He has to be out for blood the second that bell rings because there is no time to set a pace. And God help him if he goes to another decision.
Or it's a split decision,
or
too.
Or whatever,
right? Yeah, that would be worse. You know, the thing is, man, Oliveira possesses some wicked, on his debut, he possessed some wicked jiu-jitsu off his back. That wrestler, I forget who he was that fought, it picked him up, threw him down in side control. Before you know it, not only did he have full guard, he had a triangle locked up with an arm bar like in a matter of seconds, man. I think it was like sub of the week or sub of the night.
Yeah, and this last one, he got it with the calf slicer.
Slicer. And I mean, you know, I know Frankie's, you know, not personally, but I know he's not taking it lightly. He's probably training his butt off, all that. Probably he's happy that he's doing 15 minutes as opposed to 25.
Do you think he'll take a fight afterwards just to kind of wear out all the energy? I'm just kidding.
Keep on going. Probably ask for a rematch with this guy.
Take a two-round.
Even if he wins.
Right.
You know, so. That's a good fight. I like that one a lot.
I think this could be
fight. I'm actually going with Oliveira.
I think this could be fight of the night because I think for that very reason. Oliveira is a guy, if you're not a super huge fan of jiu-jitsu, Oliveira is a guy that can get subs from everywhere.
Dude's like 20, when he was 20 years old, his debut in the UFC, he was 12-0, and he got another sub that night.
Yeah.
So he was 13-0 off of his debut, and was 20 years old. Dude, that is impressive.
He is a kid to
very
watch.
Impressive.
This is going to be a great fight. I think Frankie's still going to eke this one out. I would love to see Frankie and finish this fight. I think that would be great for him.
Sure.
And certainly to get him back into contention to see what's ever going to happen, because I'll argue with everybody all day long. A couple of these decisions actually were in his favor. Just saying.
What? Was that an alter ego of yours?
That is my alter ego that says that judging is so bad in this sport.
True.
That sometimes guys should actually have
belted. Which one do you thought was his?
I think you could have given one of the Benson fights to him.
Really?
I certainly think the second one, I think you could have given to him.
Yeah.
Not given like he just took it, but like it wasn't.
The one where his reaction was like, come on.
Right, like, yeah, that one. Like, all you do is give me split decisions. What is this? Also on the card, Tim Kennedy, who hates the UFC, apparently, makes his debut against Hodger Gracie. He spent the whole week saying he'd rather work as a guy who collects garbage as opposed to working for the UFC. A very odd way to make your entrance into a job. And for those of you
idiot.
Who are listening who are unemployed,
what an idiot.
Not something you should do. When you're interviewing for your new job, don't tell them that the job is terrible. Now hire me. That's not really how it
and
works.
And then, you know, it's really, and I like what Travis Brown said. Guys, if you're going to go out there and you're going to make a really just a dumb remark, and then, I'm sorry, your apology, no one's going to hear your apology. Everyone, you know, like I read somewhere, he's sorry, that's not what he... What do you mean that's not what you intended? It was taken out of context.
Not what I meant. It's a different type of garbage collector.
Yeah, different kind of trash, you know? Like the trash that you take off of done with the porn set or something. You know, that kind of trash. Like, what are you talking about? You're making more money. And then, you know, did you see his list of percentages that go to the supplements, gyms, trainers? I saw all this nonsense. I'm like, wow, you are under the wrong management if that's your... You know, disbursements of money.
Right.
It was ridiculous, man. I'm like, no, you should not be spending that much money on even like hotel expense. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Gym expenses I get, you know, but when you're with the right camp and you're with the right group of guys, you know, that he's probably overestimating just to say, look, guys, before taxes, I only make 20 grand or
right.
I take home 20 off
right.
of a $75,000 or $60,000 fight. If that's the case, man. Go back to college, take a math class, okay, and learn how numbers work, how they subtract and how they add. Forget about multiplying and division. That might be too much for them right now. Just stick with basic math and take a bank accounting class somewhere, too.
Or if that's too much, Sean, here's what I would do. Is interview some financial advisors
right.
and maybe give one $5. And if in a week he comes back with $15, hire that guy and have him manage your money. Because that's the guy you want in your corner.
Exactly.
Not the guy who's like, oh, dude, I think you do need to take 77 vitamins a day.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to take 77.
Here's a big fishbowl of vitamins.
Right, yes.
Hey, be careful. I don't know which ones are steroids. Just make sure you don't eat
just
those.
Take them by the handful like they're M&M's.
And then Travis Brown, I love what he said. He said, listen, don't sign the contract and then complain.
Right.
Like, man up, dude. Like, good job, Brown. I like that.
I like Brown a lot. So,
yeah.
And Mark Munoz taking on Tim Bosch. Going to be another exciting fight at middleweight. Right. Yeah, and what Sean is doing the expand and contract hand signals, which, if you have not seen these photos of Munoz, I'm going to put them online. He got injured. And one of the things that happens when you get injured...
By what? A big-ass cheesecake factory?
Right.
Like, what did he get injured by?
Right, so he got injured, and then he was on the shelf for a minute. And what happens to
thyroid problem.
Dr. Dede is in the house. What happens to a fighter is that, essentially, when they have nothing to do and they can't get that release that they need, they apparently go to a cheesecake factory and stay there. Because he got ginormous.
Oh,
and then
man.
Dropped 50 pounds, and he looks fantastic.
50?
Yeah, 50. That's
no.
all. It was just 50.
More.
It was just 50.
Dude, come on. That was like he ate his twin brother.
Okay.
Dude, come on, man. The guy, he weighed in at 260, right?
According
265, which is like the limit of heavyweight.
According to his Twitter, it was just 50. But okay, whatever.
I'll do some math, because what, he's got to weigh in at 185, right?
Yes, he does.
He was about 265.
Of course, he's not gonna drop to 185.
You know he was lying when he said, yeah, I was only like 250 pounds. Man, you were close to 300. Dude, I've seen Filipinos eat rice, man. They chow down. They get down.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Frankie Edgar. Josh Gross from ESPN will jump in. And as always, you can follow us along at Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
My appeal. Walk through closet doors and roll ball on the coliseum.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay. 4th of July week. UFC 162 on pay-per-view this weekend. And joining us on the line right now, the answer, Frankie Edgar in the house. Frankie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am awesome. Welcome back to the show. Big weekend this weekend. UFC 162. You're taking on Charles Oliveira. First, let's talk a little bit about, I don't want to talk about the past because I know you're very much a fighter that moves forward, but you've had experience with this more than one time. Do you think, Frankie, there will be a point where judging gets less frustrating in this sport?
You know, I do. I think, sport's still kind of young. You know, you got guys judging that may have never competed in a sport or grew up around it just because it's such a new sport. You know, in the future, you're going to have guys that maybe have competed or trained in it or at least grew up watching it, you know.
Do you think they should have been a fighter or at least fought at one point to be a judge?
I don't think you necessarily need to be, but, you know, just because it wasn't around maybe, you know, and while they were growing up watching it and they're really understanding it, it's a little bit tougher to get a grasp of it at times.
All right, this weekend, UFC 162, you're taking on Charles Oliveira. First time in a long time you're fighting a three-round fight. What's the difference in training? I mean, obviously you're training for a shorter fight, but how do you, you know, when you're in a championship fight, you kind of have that space to do what you do best, which is kind of get your pace going and then just be relentless. How do you truncate that back to a three-round fight? Because it's been a minute since you've been there.
Yeah, I just think you have to turn your intensity level up, right out the gate. You know, you kind of can, like you said, kind of get settled in and start wearing on guys, which I tend to do, you know, pretty well. I got to make sure my intensity level's high, you know, right out the gate.
Is it harder, Frankie? I mean, you're a 6-1 at this point, I think, favorite in this fight against Charles Oliveira. Everyone thinking that his jiu-jitsu's okay, but overall, you're a much more well-rounded fighter, a much better boxer. He's clearly had problems with that in the past with Cub Swanson and then even with jiu-jitsu with Jim Miller. Is it easy for you to, I guess, drown him in the way that you like to drown him, or do you feel that you're going to have to finish this fight? And I guess the better question is, do you want to finish that fight to just kind of wipe away everything that's been happening in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I'd love to finish the fight and not have to worry about anything, you know. If I finish the fight, I know it's a sure way to get a win, and don't have to worry about anybody else's judgment.
You get past him, what do you think is next? Because you have been, A master at being in these title fights, but B, you've picked two of the craziest weight classes where these title shots happen or don't happen. You see what happened with Aldo and Pettis. Pettis gets injured and then tries to jump up to 155. You're kind of in this crazy universe. What do you think's next after the Oliveira fight? I'm not asking you to look past him, but everything goes well. You get that win, you get that finish. What do you want to do next?
Yeah, definitely not one to look past anybody. You know, I got tons of respect for Oliveira, and I realize the position that I'm in. Winning has a way of taking care of itself. You know, taking care of the problems and the goals that you want. If I win and I put myself in a good position, I'll get another shot at that title, and that's obviously my goal.
Frankie Edgar joining us, UFC 162 this weekend. The other bit of news coming out about you, Edson Barboza running around just saying how amazing it was to work with you guys. Can you talk a little bit about that camp and kind of what he found so amazing about working with you guys?
We've been training. I brought him in actually for my second Barboza at Benson Henderson fight. I brought him in for a couple weeks and he really liked it. We hit it off. We felt we could really help each other out. And he just started coming around for his last fight and now for this fight. So we got to train for, a whole camp this time around. And it's been beneficial for both of us. You know, I feel a lot of our missing pieces for each other we complement. So, you see, he liked the home field, the family style that my team brings. And I think he's a missing piece.
So it's safe then for me, Frankie, to bet my entire house on you ending this fight with a wheel kick then, right?
I don't know about all that, man. I think it's just one of a kind in that field. But, hey, you know, you never know.
Frankie Edgar joining us, UFC 162. You are the co-main event against Charles Oliveira. The main event, Anderson and Chris Weidman. You have picked Chris. You say he's the whole package. Talk to me about why you think he's the answer, no pun intended, to end Anderson's reign at 185.
You know, I'm buddies with Chris. You know, obviously he's an East Coast guy. I'm an East Coast guy. We train alongside each other at Henzo's from time to time. And, you know, Anderson's been no easy fight for anybody, obviously. He's a champion for a reason. He's been the on top of the division for so long for a reason. But I think if anybody could do it, Chris Weidman's the guy. You know, if you're going to build a guy to beat Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman might be that guy.
And Weidman has certainly got a lot of interest because when you watch Anderson fight, and even when you watch you fight, that championship, that elite athlete level, you guys are able to slow time down. And I think a lot of people are excited to see what happens on Saturday night if Chris can negate that ability. You know, if you go back to Anderson and Stephen Bonner, he was operating at a level that looked like Stephen Bonner had never fought in the UFC in his entire life. And when you put a guy like Chris Weidman up against him, it looks like it should be a very competitive fight and something super exciting for Saturday night. So I think it would be interesting if Chris wins because the whole world thinks that that's not even a possibility, thinks that Anderson's from some other planet. But you've got the inside track, and I hope you're right, actually.
Yeah, you know, Chris is phenomenal, man. He really is, and he's got every chance to do it. You know, as long as he goes in there and believes in himself, which seems like he's been doing, and that seems like he's carrying himself going into this fight, that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of people go in there against Anderson, and they're beat before the bell even goes off. But if Anderson stays, if Weidman stays confident, he has every chance in the world.
So you think that Chael probably had a sound strategy in that most people get freaked out, like you said, before they even get in the cage. And if you go in there to bully him, you've got a much better chance of finishing that fight.
Right. I think Chael just went and did what he does. You know, he didn't
right,
care
but...
who he was fighting. He was just going to go and fight his fight. And I think that's what Weidman needs to do. But I think, you know, where Chael lacks some holes in his game and submissions and maybe consistency, I think that's where Weidman doesn't lack that.
And, Frankie, I was not making a comparison, just saying that a lot of fighters get in there and just get totally freaked out and can't get their game off. And Chael Chael was the one to say, just go in there and get your game off, and you've got a much better shot of fighting this guy.
No, for sure, for sure. I think he does that great. He just does what he goes in there and doesn't worry about the other guy. He just worries about what he's going to do.
Frankie Edgar.
Chris needs to do as well.
Frankie Edgar joining us. UFC 162 on pay-per-view this weekend. You are taking on Charles Oliveira. It is great to hear your voice. It is great to see you back in the octagon. It will be even better on Saturday night when we see that arm raised. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure.
And also this weekend, it's the Fan Expo. We talked to Forrest Griffin about his induction into the Hall of Fame last week. We figured we'd give you a recap once again. Forrest Griffin on Way of the Warrior. Forrest, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself, boss?
I am awesome. Welcome back to the show. It's been
awesome.
A...
Are you sure? I mean, that's, you might be overselling it there a bit, but I'll let you get away with it.
Why? We had you on to talk about all of your books, and now we get to talk to you about being a UFC Hall of Famer. How does it feel?
The last guy just summed it up for me. He said it's bittersweet, you know? If you're going to end your career, the Hall of Fame is the way to do it, right? In any career, but... And I like that in fighting, you don't have to wait like 5 years. It's just like, you're done? All right, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Now, how does that work, Forrest? Are you a little upset that it seems like they did your announcement at 3 in the morning after a presser, after another fight? How come they don't bring you guys into the cage anymore and do these big announcements like they used to back when Hoyce was inducted?
Well, let me tell you something. Even that press conference, I wanted to go after the actual fighters that fight and pay the bills, you know? It's kind of like, you know, if you're not, I think it's less important, you know, than the actual game. All those guys, poor guys, want to get to their after party, and they've just fought, and they've just, you know, had all this endorphins and adrenaline, and then I'm sitting there, so more about me, you know. I think the expo will be a much better place to speak. You know, I won't have to be I won't have to feel like I'm intruding on someone else's moment, because that's kind of how you feel at a press conference. You're like, well, these guys just fought great fights and did great things, and I haven't done anything in a while, so got that going for me.
And the Fan Expo is obviously this weekend. What can fans expect if our listeners? We've got a couple that are going, and they've gone for a first time. What are they going to see this weekend or next weekend? I should say.
Well, you know, they got expos with all the different stuff. There's going to be an induction ceremony. There's going to be parties everywhere. You can find the website. Apparently, there's a free 3 Days Grace concert. So if you really liked the early 2000 era, you can go to that.
You know what? It's funny you say that because we were going to ask you if Creed was busy that day. But
is that how you end up with 3 Days Grace?
I guess Creed was busy that day, yeah. Yeah, I guess they're probably halfway in rehab or something. I don't know.
But Forrest, this is a huge honor, and I know you understate things a lot, but it can't be understated. The moment that you and Stephen Bonner had at the finale of The Ultimate Fighter 1 was a huge moment for this sport, and I think...
Well, here's the deal. I like to understate things, because if you talk about how great you are, you sound like an idiot. But if you talk about how great I am, I sound pretty cool.
Well, I guess then allow me to talk about how great you are. That moment can't be understated, and what it did for this sport is fantastic. And had you not had a fantastic career, that moment alone, I think you should have gotten into the Hall of Fame. That said, you've had a brilliant career, and what's interesting is Tito Ortiz earlier this week said you certainly deserve to get in, but he wonders about Bonner. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if Tito thinks Bonner shouldn't be in, then for sure you know he should.
Okay. And in another interview, you talked a little bit like you might get into the gym towards the end of the summer, early fall. Maybe think if you feel a little better about getting into fighting. If that doesn't happen, though, Forrest.
No, most likely not. I mean, I've had 3 shoulder surgeries. It's just not that my body's beat up. My body's beat up, but no more than anybody else. It's mostly just that my right arm doesn't work. You know, I didn't have a tremendous amount of power in my right hand to begin with, but I had like a little, and now I have none, and everybody knows I have none. So it's really sort of a test by chin, you know?
Right, and is that the arm you broke early in your career? You're right?
No, that was the other arm. That arm's fine now.
Gotcha.
It's the arm that came out in the fight in South Africa that I finished the fight with, my arm literally dangling from the socket.
Oof.
It hadn't been quite the same since.
So Forrest,
I don't recommend it.
I don't imagine you would. So what's the plan after this? Are you going to write another book at least? Please tell me you're going to say yes.
I am not.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Are there plans at all?
I mean, I've already written a perfect book, so... I mean, really, I don't know if I want to tarnish that. I mean, the book about the apocalypse is probably the best book ever written by humans.
It certainly is, and anyone who hasn't picked it up, they certainly should do that. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. The UFC.
Yeah, go buy that book. I'll make 13 cents off of it. So
go buy lots of those books.
Go buy 10 of them. He'll make $1.30. All right, you can follow Forrest online on Twitter at Forrest.
Great math, by the way.
Thank you. and he will be at the Fan Expo being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then don't forget UFC 162, a huge bout between Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman. Forrest, as always, a pleasure having you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next weekend.
Well, thank you. That was quick, but that's what she said. Boom.
Forrest Griffin, everybody.
And when we come back, Josh Gross from ESPN will stop by to talk about UFC 162. Is Weidman really the guy? Can Edgar get back on the winning streak? And what's going on with the rest of the card? All of that is next. Plus, we'll talk about Dana White. Is he taking away the fighter pay to increase the overall pay? Is he going to take away those bonuses, give them to the fighters just for showing up? We'll talk about it. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Dizay, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network and powered by Gun Lake Casinos. UFC 162, we are covering it from front to back, top to bottom, in every way that we possibly can. And joining us on the line right now from ESPN.com, Josh Gross is joining us. Josh, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I am awesome. UFC 162 this weekend. You have been writing your podcasts up. If people are not following Gross Point Blank, they should absolutely do that at ESPN.com. This is a big one because there's a lot of people, a lot more than I guess I would have guessed, jumping behind Weidman. Talk a little bit about why Weidman is that opponent that people think might actually have the keys to unlocking the Anderson chest.
You know, I think there's a few factors. First, Anderson Silva has been so dominant for so long. I think just on pure odds alone, people are expecting him to stumble. I mean, it's been 16 fights, 16 wins. He's been doing this for going on 7 years. You know, mixed martial arts has told us that that those sorts of stats are impossible. I mean, there's so many factors, so many ways to win and lose a fight that for him to continue doing it against the level of competition that he's had really shouldn't happen. Also, I think people look at Weidman, they see a young, hungry, undefeated kid who has everything going for him, and stylistically, in theory, he's a difficult matchup for Anderson Silva. You talk about a strong wrestler with a submission IQ. All that leads people to believe that, you know, he's got a real chance in this fight, and I think he does. But, you know, having a real chance, so have guys like Dan Henderson and Nate Marquardt and a whole lot of other great fighters over the term of Anderson Silva's title defenses. So is Weidman just another guy, or is he the truth? You know, that's really the question on Saturday night.
And what do you think it's going to be?
Look, at this point, I see no reason to pick against Anderson Silva. I mean, he has not taken a ton of punishment over the course of his career. He's still doing matrix-like things in the cage where you can see his reflexes and his accuracy are as sharp as they ever were. And for as good as Weidman is and for as highly touted as he's been coming into the fight, I certainly think he's capable of giving Anderson problems. But, no, I'm not going to pick against Anderson Silva, you know, until he's given us a reason to do so.
Well, and we've been talking all week about this. You look at a fight like the Bonner fight, which obviously it's not the same level of competition, but he was able to make Stephen Bonner literally look like he had never fought in a day in his life.
Well, that's the thing. He'll do that against guys like Bonner, who's a pretty mediocre fighter over the course of his career, and then he'll also do it to a Nate Marquardt or a Dan Henderson, and Henderson's one of the best fighters, I think top three fighters over the last 20 years. He makes fighters look silly, and that's sort of the one defining thing about Anderson Silva. It's not like he's just going out there and grinding wins and, you know, finding ways to win and squeaking by. He makes guys look foolish, and, you know, whether or not he can do that to Chris Weidman, I don't know, but he's certainly capable of it, and that has to factor in a kid like Weidman's head. I mean, you know, he's going to be standing across the cage from Anderson Silva on Saturday night, and that reality for a lot of people sets in, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, here I am. So, you know, he's got a lot to cope with. But, you know, Silva's great for many, many reasons.
And the obvious question after this is when this fight is over and things go the way that I think you and I both think they might go, what do you think is next for Anderson? Is it GSP? Is it John Jones? You're kind of at ground zero of what's going on there. Do you have a sense of maybe which one of these fights would happen next?
I think it's John Jones. Silva is now, a lot of the talk for a long time was George St. Pierre. St. Pierre doesn't seem too willing to go there. Anderson Silva is now talking as if he has a little interest in St. Pierre. He's playing up the Jones fight. He's actually said publicly, I think he did on Monday, that he doesn't think that he can beat John Jones. Now, whether he's being sincere in that, I don't know. But, you know, that's the kind of talk that's selling a fight down the road. Now, he has to get past Weidman, but the UFC's already said that, you know, had they been able to put together a 20th anniversary show this November in New York, they wanted to do Anderson Silva against John Jones. So those plans are already in place. I expect if Jones wins his fight in September against Alexander Gustafsson and Silva takes care of business on Saturday, that's the fight we're looking at.
Awesome stuff. Josh Gross from ESPN.com joining us. The co-main event, The Answer, looks to get back on the winning streak. Frankie Edgar taking on Charles Oliveira. He is, I think, right now a 6-1 favorite over Oliveira. But as you said on your podcast, people really tend to underestimate the way that Oliveira can get those submissions kind of out of nowhere.
He's very crafty, and his last fight was submission of the night, really ridiculous sort of cap slicer. I think if you're talking about a guy who can pull something out of nothing, Charles Oliveira is it. But also he leads himself to getting in problems because he can get in not the best positions. You know, he'll
right.
try for stuff. But sometimes that leaves them exposed. And I think against a guy like Frankie Edgar, who's never been submitted in 20 fights, maybe a little bit more than Oliveira can handle, but certainly I think stylistically an interesting fight. And if Frankie's willing to engage with him, I think it also can be the best fight on the card.
Well, and Josh, you kind of astutely put it on your podcast. When you fought in title fights for your last 7 fights, you really don't have time, that is Frankie Edgar, to warm up in a 3-round fight. He's got to go to war from the minute that bell hits on Saturday night.
Yeah, and he's always been a slow starter. I don't think Oliveira will give him a choice. That's been his MO during his time in the UFC. Very fast starter. He goes for the kill right away. So if Edgar needs to be woken up, he may pay a price for that. So far, he's gotten away with it against a high level of opposition. I think he's prepared. I think the fact that he's not going to have the two extra rounds, he's aware of the fact that he's got to get going right away. I don't think it'll be a problem for him.
And Kennedy and Gracie going to be the fight right before that. It's no joke that Kennedy has not really made a lot of friends in the UFC this week. What do you think that locker room is going to be like on Saturday when he shows up after saying that they pay like trash and it's his debut?
Well, I think, and I'm simply just guessing here, but
sure.
Based on other conversations with fighters around the UFC, I don't think he's going to have an issue with them. I think they may think it's funny considering that he's never fought in the UFC and his contract was essentially one that was in Strikeforce, which of course the UFC purchased a couple years ago. So, they may get some laughs out of that. Now, whether he can deal with it, it's not the best environment to walk into. You've never fought in the UFC and you're saying that their company and their pay scale, a sort of a righteous point or not, he's better off being a garbage man, is what I think he said.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
The UFC has certainly shown a willingness, if Kennedy doesn't perform, to give him the opportunity to go try that. They have no problem releasing people, and, we'll see. Kennedy's a talented fighter, but, maybe he's a top 15, top 20 middleweight. If he goes ahead and beats Audra Gracie and makes a point, then he'll stick around, and if he looks pretty bad, based on his comments and based on Zuffa's MO, I wouldn't be surprised if it was only opportunity there.
Josh Gross joining us from ESPN.com. One last thing before I let you go. You tweeted yesterday, there was a bunch of people on your Twitter account talking about the Ultimate Fighter and the Hall of Fame induction and how you don't think that Bonner deserves to be there. Both of them are getting, Forrest and Bonner are getting inducted this weekend. You said in a tweet, it was an important moment, a crescendo, but without it, Tough 2 would have happened and MMA and the UFC would have risen. Do you really think that without that fight and what that thing did, it would have been as fast as it has been?
I don't know about as fast. I certainly think the sport is incredible, and the work ethic that we've seen from Zuffa and Dana White over the years would not have changed at all. The things fell into place. It was a tremendous fight. There's no doubt about that. I think in that moment, it was extremely important, a validating moment, as I said. But yes, look, I have enough faith, and I've seen enough in mixed martial arts to know that the sport itself is extremely compelling, and over the years, we've seen plenty of action. I think the sport is captivating enough that it would have continued to progress and would have continued to grow. Ultimate Fighter 2 would have happened regardless of that fight or not. I was cage side that night. I remember writing that this was an important moment and people will look back on this moment as one of the most meaningful in mixed martial arts, and all of that remains true. But I'm not going to go so far as to say that without that fight that mixed martial arts, the UFC wouldn't have grown at the pace that it did or wouldn't have grown at all. I can't buy.
And Josh, you're one of the most insightful writers on this sport. So I ask you this question based on another tweet you had that you don't feel that Bonner deserves to get in. And whether or not you're right, do you think, because you're not alone in that thought, do you think that things like that take the weight away from the title of Hall of Famer in the UFC? Does it kind of nullify what they're trying to build there?
Well, I think that and a few other things. The fact that you don't have Frank Shamrock included or Pat Miletich included, I mean, these are great champions in the UFC. Now, Dana White, I guess, apparently was trying to justify the Bonner induction and keeping those guys out, saying, well, it's only a Zuffa-era Hall of Fame. But then you also have Dan Severn in there and Hoyce Gracie and of people who should be, who never fought in Zuffa. So I don't buy his argument. I think if you want to honor the fight, if you want to honor the moment, that's perfectly fine, and I completely understand that. But the idea of a guy like Stephen Bonner, who not only was a mediocre fighter, I think he was 8-7 overall in the UFC, he never fought for a championship, he tested positive for steroids twice. So it's like, if you want that kind of person represented as a Hall of Famer in your organization, and that's what it is. It's an organizational, it's a business Hall of Fame. It's not really a true sports Hall of Fame because the only people doing the inductions are the promoters, and there's no media input, no fan input, no nothing like that. So, it's a glory. I think Ben Folks, who's a great writer for USA Today and MMA Junkie, called it a glorified employee of the month club. And I don't know if I'd go that far, but certainly I don't think Bonner has any case. I don't think Zuffler or Dana White has any case to put the guy in there. Does it cheapen it? Not for me, because it's already cheapened enough based on their actions with other fighters. But I think other people, other fans who maybe weren't as far out as I am on my take are starting to feel that way. That's certainly the reaction that I've received.
Josh Gross joining us from ESPN.com. You can follow him all this weekend for the results of UFC 162 on Twitter at Josh Gross ESPN. As always, my friend, thank you so much for spending a couple minutes, and enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
And when we come back, Sean and I will break down what's left of news and get you ready for UFC 162 on pay-per-view. It's Way of the Warrior, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network, and of course, powered by Gun Lake Casinos.
The Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. A couple minutes left in the show, and Sean was talking in segment one about Tim Kennedy and his want to be a garbage collector. Nothing wrong with doing that as a profession, but his complaint that the UFC doesn't pay enough. It was widely reported that that didn't make Dana White very, very happy. However, Dana has said this week, Sean, that they're thinking about getting rid of the performance bonus in lieu of raising the rates for the undercard fighters, meaning that all the lower tier fighters will now get a better bump in base pay, but we will lose fight of the night, knockout of the night, and all the other extraneous.
Like lose it all together, or he's just going to decrease those
I believe
bonuses.
He'll either decrease it or lose it all together. He probably won't lose it all together because they like the ability to say Sean had the knockout of the night and blah, 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 and paid them something. But dial that back a little bit so maybe you don't get $60,000. You get 10, and they use the rest of the money to pay the guys. Like in this case, you've got four guys on the Facebook card that all deserve to be getting better than $1,000 a fight. You know, I'm not a fighter, and I'm not a coach, but I kind of feel the same way you're making the face of.
Yeah, because like what, Grant, didn't he like clear like
120, because he got fight of the night and sub of the night.
Yeah, and then
right?
Or
knockout of the night, sorry.
Yeah, either way, that's the way you want to hit your debut. You make 100 plus grand.
Well, and for a guy, let's use TJ, that's a great example, a guy that most people weren't really following if you're not in this for a living, essentially. And here's a guy probably doesn't have all that much in sponsorship or all that much in other income coming in. Banks $120,000 in 2 minutes of work.
He's good for at least a year or two.
Yeah, depending on, like you said, I would love someday to do an extra podcast that isn't this show and sit down with what Tim Kennedy put out there and you walk me through what that should look like, because I have no idea what I would pay if I was a fighter for a coach, a gym,
I'll tell you what it is, man. Yeah.
Right, yeah, I would love to sit down and figure that stuff out. But yeah, $120,000, you're good to go
you're
for a
minute.
You're
good to go, man. Yeah.
As long as you're not John Fitch buying seven houses, you're good to
go. Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you do already are in the process of mortgaging your house, then pay off your house, man. You know, there you go. That's the best way to start a good career.
That certainly is, because then you can just use all the mortgage payments
there
to pay
you
for your training.
Exactly. So. But you know what, man? That blows my mind. But anyways, back to the card. Tim Kennedy, that guy's got a good chance against Gracie. I mean,
unless it goes to the ground.
Unless it goes to the ground. But, you know, I think now it's safe to say not too many people are nervous about going to the ground with a Gracie fighter now.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, oh my God, you know, don't get me wrong. It's they're the founding fathers of jiu-jitsu and all that. I understand all that concept. But, I mean, you know, the way the sport's evolving and the way, you know, these hybrid fighters and wrestlers and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying you can nullify jiu-jitsu, but there's a lot of things you can do. You know,
you certainly can, especially if you're a wrestler. You can nullify a lot of that stuff. I'm more interested as a fan in the Eddie Bravo areas where you're taking jiu-jitsu and just kind of turning it out of its head a little bit and turning it into a totally different art form. But that's going to be an interesting fight. The main event kicks off with Cub Swanson and Dennis Seaver. And we finally...
That's fireworks right there, man. Talk about 4th of July, baby.
Seaver's looked great.
Boom.
Since he dropped down in weight. He looks awesome.
Yeah,
so
Cub's a great fighter as
Cub's
well.
Cub's a great fighter as well. A guy who I think if he beats Seaver is certainly in line for a title shot after whatever happens between Aldo and
Did you
and
see Cub's strength and condition? That thing that he did, and Timothy Bradley's like their old high school friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like out, He's out hustling Timothy Bradley, the guy who beat Pacquiao, okay? He's out hustling him. He's out, you know, and Timothy's like, yeah, we don't do this kind of stuff in boxing. Guy is, like, dying over there, and Cub's, like, jumping up on yoga balls with one foot and doing all kinds of, you know, the kid's a phenomenal soccer player, too, so he's got coordination. But, I mean, that was – I remember watching Cub fight way back in the day at a local show down in San Diego, yep. And it was probably one of the best three-round fights I ever saw. I guess it was Shannon Gurdy or whatever his last name.
Yeah.
Dude, those two went at it, man. Oh, my God. That was a badass fight, and I'm a Cub fan, yeah. I am.
As you should be. Yeah. UFC 162 tomorrow night on pay-per-view. And then don't forget, we have an official date for Kane and JDS 3. That will be October 19th in Houston. We will catch you this week on Twitter and Facebook. It's Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino. Like the ceiling can't hold us.